Art Blakey and the Jazz Messengers with Crisis. How appropriate. This was composed by Freddie Hubbard, and of course Freddie Hubbard is part of the band. He's on trumpet. Art Blakey on drums, Jimmy Merritt on bass, Cedar Walton on piano, Wayne Shorter on tenor sax, Curtis Fuller on trombone. This is a revamped version, a remastered version of their classic. This was done in 2005. This is Lead Stories. I'm Eutrice Lead. And I got to tell you, it's been hard trying to stay buoyant and optimistic, not with the kinds of stuff that we have had to deal with in the past several days. It's been crazy what's going on. But of course, this is life. We don't know what the future holds. In many cases, we don't know. In some cases, we do know. In other cases, we can surmise what is in store for us. But in the middle of all of this, we are getting bombarded in ways that we never did anticipate. And basically, at the center of it is Donald Trump. Now, I really don't like the idea of making Trump the focal point of our discussions, because I thought in so many ways he was so transparent. It was so clear what he was up to, who he is, what he's likely to do, what his administration is likely to do. We had a sense of it coming. But I don't think we had a sense of the enormity of the problem, of the problems that Trump poses to this nation and to all of us. On most any front, there isn't very much to be hopeful about when you look at this administration and this president. And we get shunted from one thing to another, and it's one crisis, which is why I played the Art Blakey tune, one crisis after another, one debacle after another. It's about anger, rage of this president, and the unpredictability of his conduct, and his lack, I mean, just basic just training and manners and etiquette. And we see the country, because we are feeling it. We are actually feeling the country descend to a place it hadn't been for a very long time. And it's not just about economics. To say, well, we are experiencing the 1920s all over again. No, there's a whole bunch of new things added to it, which is why I had cautioned when Trump was about to take office that the one thing we absolutely must do is see to our survival, to take care of that piece of business, to come together and bind up our political strength to deal with this man. And what he ushered into American society, he's making poor people suffer, and it's going to get worse. Because the more outraged he feels, his need to be in control of everything, the more he feels challenged on that level, the worse it's going to get. He's going to be unpredictable in his conduct and his behavior, but also in his policies. And so today I raise this question. I'm asking why President Donald Trump's mental fitness, which continues to be of major concern in a widening circle of mental health and psychiatric professionals, political and military leaders, foreign heads of state, and just plain people of the country. Why is it now a non-issue? Why is nobody talking about it and raising alarms where we expect these alarms to be raised? Why has it become a non-issue? Why is there no need for national debate and action on the president's evident deterioration? It's as if it's like we're living in parallel universes here. Anybody with a lick of common sense can see the dangers that we are facing with an unpredictable, unstable president. Anybody could see that. And it's not whether you like Trump or don't like Trump. It is about whether you feel okay with the person at the helm behaving erratically, increasingly intolerant of the idea that he, as president of the United States, ought to be collaborating with Congress in whatever ways. So of course, they're going to have their fights. We have our fights with Congress. So that is understood. But we have never seen this kind of behavior on a regular basis. And it seems to have infected his entire administration. People doing whatever the hell they want to do. People putting their hands in the till, finding new ways to launch their entrepreneurial efforts at our expense. People who are not accounting for what is going on with the people's money. And worse, we have a president who keeps threatening every other minute of the day to bomb somebody, to wage war against somebody, to do something that would be responded to in a fashion that we cannot handle. And he is very calm, and he continues to do these things, and people are not talking about it anymore. You know, it's like, oh, well, there goes old Trump. You know, what else? What else do you expect? It's just him. That's just his quirky nature. He's just a kind of oddball, but he means well. And no, he's not going to do anything to blow up the country. But we just have to be a little patient with him. Well, I read a very interesting news story. And it was authored by Michael D'Antonio, and it was printed and run as part of CNN's opinion segment. Here's a title: Something is Terribly Wrong with Trump. Something is terribly wrong with Trump. I've read you several headlines. Professionals in the field of psychiatry and psychology, a year and a half ago or 2 years ago even, sounding the alarm about Donald Trump. I'm not patting myself on the back, but I was one of the first people that say something is wrong with this guy. Something is wrong with him. And yet, the country, the leaders of our country, aren't able or seem unable to stop him, seem unable to contain him, to put him somewhere where he does not do irreparable harm to this country. and I'm not being an alarmist. Whenever we see these kinds of tragedies, we get people, somebody dies, for example, a suicide. And you get all the testimonials about people who saw it coming but did nothing. You hear about people committing outrageous crimes, like this guy in New Zealand. I'm sure people saw it coming, but nobody did anything. And this president has exhibited and has continued to exhibit behavioral traits that would bother anyone who looks at what it is he's doing, what it is he's saying, and what he intends. And it just is not good. And, just the same, going along with the planned program of 2020 elections. We're talking about fights in Congress and committee chair people having one opinion in the Senate and in the House another opinion, and the clashes about that. That is not our issue right now. Our issue right now is to get this man out of the White House and into treatment. If treatment is at all possible. We are embarrassed to admit, and yet we talk all of the time about, how supportive we are about programs to help those who are psychologically unfit for whatever reason. But this is our head of state. This is the top guy. And he is at the helm of the ship. And we see him heading straight for a rock. And we're supposed to go to bed contented that we are Americans, living better than all the people of the world. We have the greatest democracy, and even if the captain of the ship is a little off, we have ways of dealing with it. Well, I haven't seen any. And it is not a topic of discussion, and I'm wondering why. Why is it not a topic of discussion? Of course, we know some of the basic reasons. But what has to happen before we get a handle on this? And before some entity is designated to take this battle on. Is President Trump mentally fit, psychologically fit to hold this office based on his performance so far, based on his conduct, based on his actions? This is not a, this is a very serious discussion the nation has to have. Because he surely will be putting us at risk. He already has put us at risk. And we don't even know the extent of the risks that this president has and continues to put us in as a nation. This is not a joke. I'm not saying this because, I have some particular beef or I have some particular problem with Donald Trump. No, not at all. He's the president of the United States. The assumption I'm saying now, the assumption on the part of people who consider themselves politically active and whatnot, is that whoever is president of the United States, we will disagree with, we will have problems with. But I think it's been quite a while since we have been afraid and nervous about what this president is likely to do that would cost everybody dearly. Why the silence? Why is no one talking about that as an issue? They're talking about 2020 campaign. And what they're going to do in 2020. And after they are elected in 2020, that's still 2 years from now. The question is now, at this moment, with the president already at the helm for 2 years and already creating, in some cases, irreparable damage to this country. And running this country in a manner we have never seen before, the same way he runs his companies, one assumes, which is why so many of them went bankrupt. And people once employed by the Trump organization tell tales of the calamity, the daily calamity and chaos that they had to operate in. How do we explain that this is not an issue? And who decided it was not an issue? And why are we not raising hell about this? The medical people, the psychiatric people, they've done their job. They've raised as many concerns as they possibly can. They have talked as loudly as they can. We know because we have observed this president's conduct. The people in office know. And still, it's like we're living with, a kidnapper, an extortionist. They have us, we are captives. And how do we resolve this? Your thoughts at 888-874-4888. We'll take a short break and come back to your thoughts. Listening to Lead Stories on PRN.FM. I'm asking a question and I'm hoping that we can get some answers or some ideas here as to why the president's fitness for office, which is now expressing itself in so many different ways, all of them practically disturbing, why is it not an issue? Why is it not concerning us as a nation? Why aren't the people who are in a position to do something about it? Why aren't those people doing anything? Are they waiting for the great moment when, in fact, the president just explodes and does something from which we cannot immediately recover or recover at all. Who decided in the news media, who decided this is not a story? Khalil from South Carolina, you're on the air.
Hi, you trees. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. How are you?
As well as can be expected.
That's good.
I'm glad you're broaching this topic today. And I think that the way you presented this issue was perfect. You asked the right questions. Okay. Bandy Lee. And the other folks who helped her with her book and other mental health professionals, people who practice. And
But
there's a lot of
we
chatter.
should just identify her for a minute. She was part of this group of psychiatrists and psychologists who did what was tantamount to an analysis of the disturbing things about Trump, and continues to raise the alarm. And in fact, that was the whole point of the report that they issued. Saying that it comes out of their duty to warn, the duty to warn the nation based on what they saw, which alarmed them. Continue.
That's why you are who you are. That was great. There are a lot of reasons why a lot of mental health professionals will not come forward. I think I mentioned that before because it depends on if you're the type of relationship you might have with the chair of your department, if you're on tenure. There's a lot of things to consider. But anyway, this has been coming forward. The chatter is there in the mental health community. The question that you asked, though, one of the questions is why it's very, it's 'cause that is, it's astounding that, the rumors, everyone knew, but then when, these people put their careers on the line, literally, some of them, to come forward to make this type of assertion. That is so obvious. And it's not just what they're saying. It's more to it than that, but that's what they're comfortable with saying in public. This our president is in crisis. That's crisis. Like, people can muddle along with mental illness through life. And maybe it doesn't affect that many people. It might just affect their family and their immediate community. But this is the leader of the free world, who has been muddling along for some time. And recently, this is the second time he's been in crisis. Now, he went into crisis this weekend with these tweets. And I make this assertion because at the same time, we had Americans losing their lives and livelihoods from floods. And he did not address that at all during the weekend, I don't believe. That his tweet about that came out maybe late Sunday, maybe early Monday. And if I'm wrong, someone can correct me. But he cannot help it. He just doesn't have the capacity. And, you
Okay,
know, and,
but what I think you're right, and I agree with you there, but we still are stuck because we aren't going anywhere on the issue as a nation. Is the president fit or is he not? These signals are very worrisome. What do you think is a way to dissipate any doubt and to come to some conclusion about what exactly is his mental state? And we don't want one of those letters that he dictates to his doctor saying he is in perfect mental health. We want an assemblage of people who can express publicly, for the sake of the country, what they see as disturbing behavior about this president that would cause any rational professional to say, okay, we need to sequester you, take you someplace, give you a vacation, and figure it out, and start talking to you about exactly what we think is wrong with you. The nation is owed that, I think, that we should know what is wrong with this president. Too many people now are saying it. I said it early on. Something is wrong with this guy.
Well, see, the power elite apparently is getting what they need out of this individual number one. So there's something going on. It's obvious. You know, people have all I can say is that we have to call our representatives and let them know that we're paying attention. You know, Tony Schwartz spoke up. Now, he spent every day with the individual number one for at least a year, and he warned us. Now, he may have a degree in psychology or not. I don't know. He's a writer, but I have a degree in psychology, but you know, a lot of people do. But, you know, what does that mean? People have to coalesce, and they, you know, it's been tried. But so this is what has to happen: is people need to contact anyone who knows their representative closely, like when you can walk in their office or have a call with them. Let them know that we understand what's going on, because this is larger than what we think. This is dangerous. This is what I want to say. This is beyond, like you said, this is beyond politics. Contact our representatives. Everyone should write an editorial if you believe this. If you're listening, see, this is not. And your point, the mainstream media. You know that tweet. Now, why does it take a tweet to tell the truth? That anyone who has that type of training and education has been obvious for quite some time. You know, it's not funny. He's not eccentric. This is dangerous now. This is a dangerous person. And the pressure, every day that he's in that office right now, and let me say this, we are already in a constitutional crisis because there are learned people around him that know that he has the power of the presidency. So what happens, we've already had a crisis. He didn't say anything about those people in the Midwest dying until the last minute. He's preoccupied with his perception of how he's perceived, his feelings, as opposed to his job. Now, what happens when there's an international crisis, a geopolitical crisis, and then the staff has to make a choice? Do we give them the correct information or incorrect information, or do we act on our own? Because we're in crisis. The president is in crisis, and the nation's in crisis. So I think the only thing we can do is to keep speaking up. I'm trying to answer your question.
No, you're doing a good job. Thank you so much for contributing today. Bruce from New York, you're on the air.
Hello, Utrecht.
Hello.
Yeah, hi. Utrecht, I don't think that anything is wrong with the president except that he is a madman. You know, and I think we have to stop. We have to call it by its name. Stop saying that we think something is wrong with him, you know? I mean, somebody can say in an unoffensive way to you that something is wrong with you too, you know? But what is wrong with you? what is wrong with you would not send the planet into a fireball, you know? What we're looking at here is a madman. You know, plain and simple. Just a madman, and I think we have to call it by its name. And we cannot be afraid that we are not diagnosticians, that we are not psychologists or psychiatrists. I mean, you know, we don't have to be any of those things to see that we are dealing with a madman here. You know, I mean, why are we relying or using this professional etiquette that we don't subscribe to in order to not say what is an existential reality, what we can see in front of our own eyes as real, that Donald Trump is a madman. Right? And I don't think that we can do much about it, to be honest with you, because I always refer to Nero and Caligula and the fall of the Roman Empire. And I think that is the only example from history, or one of them, that we can be guided by. You know, when you have such a character in power, I mean, everybody fears him. Nobody wants to challenge him. And what is more is that we have allowed capitalism and so-called democracy to develop in such a way that, you know, this man is basically protected from us by us. You know, so there's no, and there's no systems, that there's no monk writing letters to congressmen or marches or any of these other devices that we may use from time to time that can deal with this matter. This matter is 2 years too old. I mean, this matter should have been investigated and a definitive decision made about it, I mean, 2 years ago, not just now. So for one day, him being in the president, or even another minute, right, where he has his finger on nuclear weapons, right, and could make a decision that is irrational, yeah, maybe without even being threatened by anybody else. I mean, there's nothing really that would stop him today from going to say, look, I'm going to blow South America off the map or something like that. I mean, what is, there's no moral compass, you know, there's no moral minimum preventing this man from doing something which is crazy like he is, you know. So, you know, I don't think there's anything we can do. I think we are helpless. We cannot depend on Congress. We cannot depend on social pressures. All of these forces are not enough to counterbalance the power that this man has. And to say that you'll wait 2 years for an election, like you noted, I mean, it shows that maybe we are mad as well, you know, because if Trump is mad and he can destroy the whole world, right, and we are prepared to sit down 2 years and hope for some election that somebody else is going to do. And by the way, once you have injected a Trump into the body politic, people have been, and especially Democrats, are talking as though you can just have an election and this thing can be corrected. You know, I heard a man on the radio this weekend, Webster Tarpley, talking along these lines, as though you can have an election and what has been injected into the body politic would automatically be removed. I mean, politics doesn't work like that. I mean, Trump is talking about Monroe Doctrine, for instance. And Monroe inserted a doctrine, right, into the body politic, right? And it still has life maybe, what, 150 years since, right? So I don't see any solution to this, but, you know, a worst-case scenario?
Which would be?
Well, it could be a number of things. It may be a nuclear war, right? It may be an election that is called and Trump has lost, right, but refused to give up power as he is threatened already, you know, and somebody has wrote an article about this man is not going to give up power. We said so, what, over nearly 2 years ago on this program, right, that he is not going to give up power. So all of these scenarios, all the scenarios that I see are deadly. There are no good options I'm seeing with Trump.
When we look at one of the most recent indicators of how this country behaves at the behest of Trump is that threatened invasion of Venezuela. Now, I don't know about you, but it really boggled my mind. Here we have a president unilaterally taking action and being open about it, saying, I don't like this guy in office. we're going, if we have to remove him, we will. And then you're supporting openly the overthrow of his government. You're supporting his opponent. And you're supporting essentially having a colony all over again. And the country is just going along nice and smoothly. They just announced that, well, there'll be talks between Venezuela and the United States about, I mean, not Venezuela, but about how things should go in Venezuela. The United States is, of course, arranging these talks. And I'm saying, is everybody on some kind of medication or drugs in Washington, D.C.? They don't understand where we are. They don't understand how people are having spasms of anxiety about this president and what he is likely to do.
It's not only Donald Trump, you know. It's what we've built over time, you know. We have allowed this to grow in this way, you know. So what Trump is doing is a natural extension of what we have fostered, what we have encouraged over years, maybe over centuries, yeah? And I always mention to you the slavery experience in this country, for instance, yeah? I mean, you enslave people, you do all these bad things to them, then you want to pretend to be, you know, the good guy in the world, you know, the country that is democratic and believes in all these high ideals, yeah? But you have this problem with slavery that still exists to this day, the effects of which. And you have a country, and we have a people who are prepared to see that type of thing go on. So this situation with Venezuela is no different. If you don't correct these things, they will come up and come up again, time and time again. So I am not surprised that he is doing what he's doing in Venezuela. You know, although I still don't believe that he's willing to go to war. I think he will like to take the oil without losing a soldier, if possible. Yeah, but when you're dealing with a madman, you know, you cannot rely on the rationality of a madman. You cannot rely on a trend of thought. You cannot rely. I mean, he may be thinking one thing one day and then do something the other. Just like it came with North Korea. With North Korea, he wanted to blow them off the map, but all of a sudden, he is a good buddy with the leader there, you know? So, he's moving from one extreme to the next, from one position to the next, and you cannot project what he will do. And because he's a madman, you have to assume that he's likely to do anything.
And this is where we are. In this space where he is likely to do anything, the question is, what are we likely to do?
But we are likely to do nothing because we have no power to do anything. We are likely to do nothing. The whole system, this whole country is just trying to wait out Trump, you know? They're trying to wait out to see how Trump. I heard Gerald Horn a few days ago, maybe yesterday, on another place, saying that we have to think about the rewriting of history, because the trajectory of American history as written is not supposed to produce somebody like Trump, you know? And it tells you that the whole system, everything that we have done since Plymouth Rock, it has been a failure, right? Because you can't have a situation where you can produce a Donald Trump, you know, in the circumstances where we believe that we are, you know, the kind of people that we are supposed to be. I mean, you know, that should not happen. And that has happened. It tells you that something is wrong with the whole historical arc.
Well, I have to keep some glimmer of hope in that there's got to be something that can be done about the predicament we're in. And we are in a predicament, even if there's widespread denial of it. We are in a serious predicament, and we still have to hold on to something that we may get some kind of an idea coming down the pike. I don't know, but I know that we have to do something. Your contribution today is quite enlightening, Bruce, as usual. Thank you so much for calling in. David from Brooklyn, you're on the air.
Good afternoon, you Trace. You know, I'm kind of looking at this in a different way. I don't know anything that we could call a good president. I mean, to me, this is like thinking about the warden of a prison and whether this is a good warden, a bad warden, or whatnot. This is an empire that has the desire to rule the world. And the president is the chief executive officer of the empire. If you look at all the recent presidents in the past, they have done very destructive, crazy things, including Bush and Obama and Reagan and so forth. So, you know, Trump has some kind of crazy behavior that we see. But whoever we put in there is going to act the same way because the country is not run by the people. It's run by the small ruling class that is at the head of the uniparty. I call it a uniparty because they have the same interests, Republican and Democrat. And they decide who's going to run, and they let the people vote on who they select. So the whole process of rigged is designed to benefit those at the top at the expense of the people in this country and the world. So, you know, to think that you're going to solve all these problems by getting rid of little Trump and then everything will be all right, I don't think is the case. And whether you get Trump in there and out and Pence in or somebody else, most of those people that get anywhere in that uniparty are going to have to be beholden to the ruling class that pays the ducats so they can run. And the ruling class has a veto power. It controls the media, all aspects of media. It controls the schools, and it essentially controls the minds of most of the people. And it is on steroids when you come to the main way of controlling people in this country, in this so-called democratic country. And I don't know if we're in a democracy here. People don't control anything by divide and conquer. So, whether we get rid of Trump or not.
All those things that you've said, notwithstanding, we have, it seems, we are in the moment of a major crisis. The crisis being that there are serious doubts, not by, you know, regular people or people who are unfamiliar with psychology and psychiatry and all issues of the mind. We are having very well-trained people tell us there is a problem with the president. He is not mentally fit. What do you do?
Well, I guess there are a number of things. We have a constitution and could, you know, put that into action to do something about removing the president. So, you know, I don't know about psychiatry having all the answers or being exactly correct in every case, and I'm not defending Donald Trump. But the point is that I would look at a lot of these presidents is not being mentally fit. They made all kinds of bad decisions that don't make any sense to me. But the point is that Trump is just, he's a special case because of his behavior and the things he says and does and so forth. And, you know, that's brought to a lot of people's attention. But he's still on track to serve the interests of the ruling class in maintaining the empire in this country and throughout the world. So, as bad as he acts, he said...
Where did you go?
Well, he just, you know, think that's fine, his histrionics and whatnot. So that's the way I look at it. I mean, I have no confidence in anybody that gets to be president from the uniparty, Republican or Democrat, because they're going to have to serve the needs who pay the ducats so they can get there and run, and they serve the interests of the ruling class, not the people of the country. And I don't know what it means when people talk about free world and all that kind of nonsense. This is an empire that wants to run the whole world, and it wants to always have enemies. That's one of the ways that the economy is driven. You got to have some enemies. Now it's the Russians or Chinese or North Koreans. And the man in North Korea, he's not going to give up his weapons. He'd be crazy to give up his atomic weapons, because that would land him in for a situation like a place like Libya. So, you know, Trump is bad. I understand that. But I don't know a solution that would get a so-called, quote-unquote, good president in there. Somebody like Pence.
I'm not even hoping for a good president. I'm just hoping for a sane one. Sane. Reasonably sane.
Sane, yes. Well, I don't know whether he's insane or not. Some of his histrionics are, you know, kind of strange. But I don't know if, to me, just changing him would really improve the situation
that much.
I don't know how people want to do that. People are not going to go out in the streets. You can't do it to the Congress, but people are not getting out to the streets. I mean, you can do what you want to people here, because they are so divided that, you know, you're not going to have the mass protests like in some countries like France and whatnot. So that's the problem that we have if we want to change Trump.
All right. Thank you so much for your call and your input today. Edgewater, E, you're on the air.
Hello, Yatrice. Good afternoon.
Hello. Good afternoon to you. What are you thinking about the issue?
Yes. Just before I talk about the Trumpster, I just wanted to make a correction for the third caller on Free Your Mind Friday. He was hoping that Ms. Ocasio-Cortez would throw her hat in the ring for the 2020 election. And even if she wanted to, she's not eligible to run until 2024, when she would then be 35 years of age, because that's one of the rules to run for president. You have to be at least 35 years of age. So that was just a correction for him. He's just making hopes for nothing that could be possible.
Okay,
so that's just a correction for a third caller. His name was John from New Jersey. He said he's been around the block many times, but he doesn't know that you need to be 35 years old to run for president. If she plays her cards right and gets herself a Senate seat in the 2022 midterm elections, then she could be primed and ready.
Okay, but what about do you have any particular opinion about the issue we're talking about today?
Yeah, well, I find it funny, but, you know, you can go back to the archives of your show from last year, the year before, and it's almost a carbon copy of what you've said before about these psychiatrists are paid to say these things by the system that controls them. I mean, what did the doctor tell you to do when you went to the hospital when you were very sick? What did the doctor tell you to do? Go home and plan your funeral. There's no hope, right? Why didn't he tell you what Gary Noel told you? Because they didn't know? They know. It's all part of the system.
My point was, when I talked about the psychiatrist, I read the significant portion of the report, and that they came up with as an analysis, and they were very clear. They had not interviewed the president. They had no access to him, but they nonetheless were sharing with the public as part of their duty to warn. They saw that the president was way off kilter, and they explained why in that report. And they were very clear, again, they did not intend that the report was a definitive psychiatric or diagnostic tool. Not at all. They simply said, based on what we observe as an organization of experienced mental health experts, this is what we've come up with.
Right. But did the same psychiatrist prognosis. Richard Nixon in 1968,
well,
when he was elected?
Why do you do that? Why do people make arguments like that?
Well,
we're talking about
2019.
Did the same psychiatrist come up with the same thing as it regards Nixon? I mean, come on. You could answer your own question. Look how many intervening years there have been. The policy called the duty to warn wasn't even in existence at that time.
Okay, I just wanted to point out that Trump is not the first president to act insane. Richard Nixon used to go on a television show, Rowan and Martin's Laugh-In, which was a ridiculous comedy, and say, "Suck it to me, baby," every week just about. And I'd sit there with my father watching the show, and I say, "This is the president of the United States." He says, "I don't know, son. People think it's funny."
The point is, at that time, you at least, in this time, you at least recognize that behavior as being abnormal, very different. Certainly not part of what you would experience every day from a president. You recognize that. Was that an indicator of where his head was at? Was he deteriorating at that time? Because, as you know, many books and papers have been published about President Nixon's own deterioration, psychiatric deterioration.
Yeah, and as I pointed out, one of the requirements to run for president is you have to be 35 years of age, and also another requirement of running for president is you have to be pretty much insane to want to do that.
There's a requirement that says you have to be insane to run for president. Where is that requirement written?
Make you laugh.
That's your opinion.
The truth of the matter is, Utrecht, is that Donald Trump is a money generator for the system that he is supporting, that all the billionaires are supporting. And the billionaires that are soon to be trillionaires would not put their money at risk of a madman running the country. They want him in there because he generates lots of money for the whole system. A guy like Sean Hannity
That was not my question at all. I accept that. I accept that Trump and the whole cabal that surrounds him, they have a specific interest in his presidency. I'm saying, we have been witnessing unusual behavior on the part of the president that would cause any rational person to say, there's got to be a way to arrest this situation now, because it suggests that the president is not in control of himself. He's not in control of those issues that he needs to be in control of. And people are letting him go, and he's sinking deeper and deeper into a morass that he probably would never be able to get out of. Where does that leave us, the people? That's the question I asked. You know, I'm not going into who controls Trump. I'm saying Trump appears to be out of control. And what does a nation do when its head of state appears to be out of control? Who is in charge of reining him in? How is that done? Those are the questions I've asked today. But we've come to the end of our program, and I thank you all. I mean, you guys are just the best. You offer the best. You cause us to think deeper about things. And I can't thank you enough for keeping that level of conversation up. So we'll meet each other again tomorrow. Thanks for listening and contributing today. Bye-bye.